All right, being an effective manager, task 15, hiring and firing. Paul fires John Mark. Acts chapter 15. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord and see how the new believers are doing." Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued in their work. So Paul, in a way, fires John Mark. We don't know really what the circumstances were. Barnabas then takes John Mark and goes a different direction. Paul then takes someone else, and they both go their own direction. And maybe in God's plan, it was like, now we got two sets of missionaries going out rather than one. But sometimes relationships don't work out. Verse 39, their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and he left, and the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. What to look for when you hire someone, a paid position. So that's on the hiring side. Look for a person who's good at what you are looking for. You want someone who is talented in the area or in the need that you have. Not just a nice person, but someone who actually has the gifts in the area that you're looking for. Follow up on references. Find out what other people think. Now, a lot of times the person that you hire is giving you the references, so hopefully they're giving you people that are friendly towards them. But a lot of times people will be truthful. They don't want to lie about things, and they will tell you the truth. It's good to get someone else's perspective. Of course, a person that wants to be hired puts their best foot forward. They're going to say things as positively as they can. Sometimes they don't tell you what they're really good at because they feel humble about it. And they certainly don't want to always tell you the bad things either. So you want to hear from other people. Ask to see past accomplishments. People can want to do things. They can be trained in all kinds of things. But what have they really done in the past? You know, a lot of people see themselves as leaders. You know, I think I can lead people. I think I can manage things and so on. But really, just ask, what have you done? What have you led? While you were in school, did you lead anything? When you were part of some other church, did you lead anything? Did you lead a small group? Did you lead a committee? Were you on a committee? Were you in a small group? I mean, a lot of people think they can lead something, but they've never even been in it. If you're in a Christian organization, look for someone who has a passion for Christ and your organization. Do they really believe in the vision of your church? I've been in different organizations and had employees working under me, and the people I really liked are the people that actually lived and were passionate about what we were about. And then I had a number of people who were there because it was a job, and they just needed a job, and they're willing to do the job, but they didn't passionately own the vision of the organization. All things being equal, it's good to have someone that has passion and energy for the thing that you're promoting. Otherwise, you're promoting something to other people, and your own staff doesn't follow. So when I worked for the Bible League, the one thing I wanted our people to do that were on my team is to be reading the Bible. Use the Bible in your own life. If we're going to go around the world, the Bible League brought the Bible to all kinds of poor countries around the world. And in effect, we were saying, as an organization, we were saying to people who were poor, we were saying people who were hungry, people that didn't have jobs, people that had health issues, we're saying, you know, I know you have a lot of problems, but what you really need is the Bible. The Bible is the real answer to all your problems. Now, we're saying that to people like that, and then in our own lives, we're not turning to the Bible with our problems. You know, we have to live what we're teaching and what we're selling. If you're in a secular business, look for someone who really believes in what your organization is doing or selling. Don't hire someone that doesn't believe in the product that you have or the service that you have in your organization. As Will Rogers once said, if you want to be successful, it's this simple. Know what you're doing, love what you're doing, and believe in what you're doing. Secondly, a person who fits in with the team. When you're looking to hire for someone, you know, maybe they're talented, maybe they're gifted in the area that you want, but how well is this person going to fit in with the team? In fact, let the team be in on the hiring process. They're going to see something about that person that you don't. And if you make a mistake in hiring the person, then at least the whole team made the mistake with you. Find a positive person. There are so many negative people. They can be talented, they can be gifted, but if they bring all this negative energy to your team, it'll affect everybody. When I was working at the Bible League, I had one person who was in charge of a program, and he hired a secretary to help with his program. And that person was so negative about, you know, the other staff person, negative about me, negative about everything. And soon the whole staff was negative about things. People were complaining about things. And finally, that person had to go. And when that person left, everything got better. So look for someone who, you know, sees things as opportunities, not as problems, believes in people, isn't always critical of people or especially someone who's gossiping, someone who is willing to talk negatively about someone else behind their back. You don't want people like that. Number four, a person of energy. To get things done, you have to have energy. If someone's always dragging and they're always down, they're always discouraged, they're always depressed, then you'll spend most of your time trying to lift them up. You'll spend most of your time trying to, okay, yeah, but we can do this. And you're always having to give a pep talk to get anything done. You want someone who adds energy to your organization and not someone that takes it away. Find a teachable person. You get someone who knows it all. You can't teach a thing. And they're not open to new things. You want someone who is eager to learn. You know, I don't know this, but I'll study it. I know I can learn it. If you show me where to look, or I'll find where to look. You know, someone who is self-motivated, that you don't have to keep pushing and shoving. Someone who can learn things on their own. Well, what if the hired person doesn't work out? So the manager is in charge of hiring people. We need people. He has to assess whether another person would really help in our situation, or whether we just have to buckle down and make this happen. What's the return on investment if we hire another person? Remember, if you hire another person, that's another salary, and you have to get the money for that from somewhere. You either have to sell your more product, or you have to get more offerings or something. You have to get money from somewhere. So what is the return on investment with this person? Well, what if you do all the diligence, it seems like it's the right person, but for whatever reason, it's not working out. How do you fire someone? How do you reverse this process? Well, before you fire, number one, communicate clearly your dissatisfaction with the performance or the attitude of the person. You can't just, you know, what happens is you have this person, they're not working out. You keep giving them assignments, they don't do it. There's problems, there's issues. You keep pushing. You subtly try to say things, and then all of a sudden you're just fed up with it. Like you're patiently trying to deal with the person, patient, patient, patient. Finally, your patience runs out, and it's like, we just got to get rid of that person, okay? I've had that many times where you're patiently trying to do the right thing, trying to make this work, but all your energy went into that, and finally that energy is gone, and now you have no energy, and you just want the person gone. Before you do anything like that, you really have to communicate clearly your dissatisfaction. Look, it's not working out here, but I need to give you another chance. So I'm clearly telling you what is wrong, and I'm clearly telling you what you need to do to fix it. Number two, communicate clearly how the person can improve the performance or the attitude. So here's what's wrong. here's what you need to fix it, and it's clear. Write both of these things down and sign it. So here is what I think is wrong. That's my opinion. I'm signing that. I want you to sign it. I'm going to write what we need to fix. I want you to sign it. I will sign it so there's no question about it. We agree on this. Number four, if it still does not work out, give them a second chance. So, you know, you've done all this. I've told you. And now, you know, if you don't do it, I really want to let you go. But I really need to do it one more time. So I got to do the whole process again. Got to write clearly that, look, I told you all this, that I was still, what I was unhappy with, and I'm still unhappy with it. You're still doing it. And I'm going to write down again what I need you to do. Or maybe there's some little adjustments. And you write it all down again and you sign both of them. If it still does not work out, then you need to let the person go. And that's a difficult thing. I've had to do it a number of times. That secretary that was hired by someone in my department was causing all this trouble. I said to the person, you know, you got to fire this person, you got to meet with that person. But he would meet with her, and she was a good communicator, and she was a good negotiator, and he'd come out of the meeting, and she still was not fired. So finally, I had to go in with both of them, and, you know, I went in with the mindset that this has to happen. And you know, the tears and all these things are not going to matter. Because, I guess there's one more thing. Let the evidence speak for itself. You clearly said what you were dissatisfied with. You clearly outlined what needs to be done. And the evidence is you didn't do it. I mean, you don't have to argue. You don't have to fight with this person, because the person will want to fight. They'll want to argue, yeah, but there was these circumstances, and, you know, you don't fight with the person. You let the evidence speak for itself. You don't argue back and forth, and you don't get angry. If you get angry, if a manager gets angry, all you're doing is telling the other person that they're right in how they're feeling. That's what anger does. Anger makes the other person feel justified with whatever they're thinking. As a parent, too, if you want to punish your kids and you want to do it in anger, if you do it in anger, the kid is going to go, this is unfair. And everything you said, all the logic, all the positive things and all the right things that you said are just going to go right out the door, because they're going to say, this is all unfair. They're angry, and that's the proof of it. So don't get angry. Remain calm. They may get angry. They may call you things. They may call you names. It doesn't matter. You don't get angry. Sympathize and pray for this person if that's the appropriate thing. Let the evidence speak for itself, and you know, that's what it is. Don't confuse firing with unforgiveness. So especially in a Christian organization or in a church, when you let someone go, it feels like you're not loving them. I mean, after all, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So if God can put up with our inadequacy, then why can't the church put up with this inadequacy? But, you know, accepting someone and salvation, those are different issues than working for someone. Okay, we're not talking about someone's salvation, and we're not talking about whether I love you or not. My love for someone is unconditional. It doesn't depend on what they do. Our salvation in Christ does not depend on what we do. Jesus died on the cross for us. But our sanctification, our becoming made like Christ and improving and becoming better and better, that requires work. People confuse justification, where we're saved by grace, and sanctification, where God is shaping us and molding us into something new. People confuse those two things. Sanctification takes work. If you want to learn how to play the piano, by His grace, gives you the ability, gives you fingers, and gives you a mind that you can actually learn. But if you want to become a good piano player, you actually have to work at it. You have to practice. And if you don't practice, you won't become very good at it. If you want to be a good father, by grace, God lets you be a father. But if you want to be a good father, you have to work at it. You have to. So employees have to work at it. And if they don't work at it and it doesn't work out, letting them go doesn't mean that you don't love them. It's not about unforgiveness. You can forgive all the things that they do, but it still isn't going to work out. So don't confuse firing with unforgiveness. Firing, in fact, sometimes letting someone go is the best thing for them. I mean, if it's not working out, it's not working out. It's just going to lead to more frustration and more problems and more fights, and eventually the whole thing's going to blow up anyway. So sometimes you just have to recognize what is. You've given chances. You've worked at it as best you can. Sometimes things just don't work out. It didn't work out for Paul either. Now, in God's grace, God, we don't really know what happened to John Mark eventually, but I'm sure that God used him and made good things happen because God has an ultimate plan. So, you know, do your best in hiring. You don't want to hire people then have to let them go, but sometimes that's what you have to do.